All right. Titled this message, Jesus Christ is No Failure. He did not fail in his mission. He came into this world to save sinners. He did not fail. Years ago, I had a preacher, a man who was pastoring a, and I don't even want to call it a church, but he was pastoring a church. He said to me, we were discussing the gospel, and he said to me, Jesus Christ died for Judas as well as he did for Peter. If that were true, he failed at it, didn't he? Because Judas is called a son of perdition. And Judas is in hell. And if Jesus Christ died for him, he failed at it. He failed at it. And what does that say for us who have hope in Christ? If he couldn't save him, can he really save me? Can he really save me? Can I really rest? Do I really have a hope? You know, the scripture tells us that our hope is laid up in heaven. It's secure. It's taken care of. And the reason being is that Jesus Christ, our hope, as Paul calls him in Timothy, did not fail. And you and I have God's word on it. That's the word. I have God's word on it. And as we saw this morning, God's word never changes. He's not a man that he should lie or should repent. Has he not said, and shall he not do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And this chapter gives us good news, great news, that the servant of God, spoken of here, who is Jesus Christ, shall not fail. He said that God said he shall not fail. He shall not fail to redeem. He shall not fail to conquer. As he says on over into the chapter there, that he will conquer his enemies. He'll rise up and conquer his enemies. He shall not fail to redeem. He shall not fail to save. He shall not fail to keep. God's glory is vested in him. If he fails, God fails. Right? If he fails, Almighty God fails. And he never fails. And I thank God that I'm not sitting under the ministry of that man that I used to sit under and listen to every week preach a Jesus that failed. That's another Jesus. Paul said they'll come preaching another Jesus. And that other Jesus that they preach is a failure. He might save and he might not. But this one, God said he shall not fail. He shall not, cannot, will not fail. It's impossible. He's God. He's God. Now he says, behold, give great attention. And that is exactly what we are here for this morning. To behold and to give great attention to God's servant. Behold, my servant, the person spoken of here, is the man Christ Jesus. He's the servant. He's called the servant of God. He is God the Father's servant. He says in Philippians 2, in chapter 2, he took upon him the form of a servant. It was not beneath him to serve. He was glad to serve. In fact, he took a towel one time and was bent down to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, don't do that. He was not ashamed to serve. He was not ashamed to be called a servant. A servant. He came to accomplish our salvation from sin, from death, from the law, by His service. That's how we are redeemed, by His service. He magnified the law and He made it honorable by His service. I've never done that. I've dishonored it by my conduct, by my service. Jesus Christ, by His service, magnified God's law and made it honorable. There was no point in God's law where He failed. There is not a jot or tittle that He did not fulfill. He loved God with all His heart. I don't know what that's like. I love God, but I don't love Him like I ought to. None of us do. I believe God, but I don't believe Him like I ought to. Do you? Why? How many times did He say to His disciples, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? I thought you believed God." I believe God. Many of you believe God, but not like we ought to believe God. But He believed God just like He ought to believe God. Just as God ought to be believed, He believed. And you know what? That's my righteousness. That's my right. He loved His neighbor as Himself. As Himself, He did. That's my righteousness. That's accredited to me. That's laid to my account. He was perfect in every way. He was and is perfect in every way. And He's my righteousness. He's it. He's it. God's servant. Behold, my servant. Behold Him. He's upheld. He's approved by the Father. That's what He's saying. Behold, my servant, I've approved. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Hear Him. Kiss the Son, it says in the Psalms. Kiss the Son. He had the Spirit, it says, without measure, as our mediator. He had it without measure. And He says here, He shall bring truth and righteousness to us Gentiles. Before, we didn't have it. We sat in darkness. We have the truth because Jesus Christ brought it to us. He preached to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He saved Gentiles as well as Jews. He shall save many, is what He's saying. He shall save many. Someone said, when thinking upon the Lord's redemptive work, think large. He's called the Lord of hosts. I know we look like we're maybe be a few in number here this morning. But think of that heavenly host that is gathered around worshiping Him right along with us this morning. It's a big crowd. There's a big crowd going on with us this morning worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. For the most part, they're in heaven. But there's a number on this earth that's worshiping Him right now. When we think of redemption, we need to think large. When we think upon God, look what He created. Has God done anything on a small scale? Has He? Look at the universe. We're still discovering things out there. When you look at there, we can't even begin to count all the stars and the galaxies and all of that. We're going to be amazed when it's over. I promise you, we're going to be absolutely amazed when it's over with. Now, He says concerning His servant, He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. It is written in Philippians 2 that He made Himself of no reputation. We have two people right now running for candidate. I mean running for presidency. The two most unelectable people on earth are running for president. That's sad to say, but it's so. What are they doing every day? They're trying to make a reputation. They're trying to set forth to us and trying to get a reputation so they get a vote. Well, he's not campaigning for votes. He's already the elect. When we talk about election, we have to start with Jesus Christ first. Let's not start with Israel. Let's not start with even the church. Let's start with Christ. Because all the elect were chosen in the elect. We were chosen in Him. He's the elect. So if we're going to start talking about election, you got to start with Him. Got to start with Him. Now it says, "He, God's servant shall not cry. He's not going to lift up his voice in the street to be heard. He's not going to go around trying to get a reputation. He's not going around arguing with men. He didn't come to argue. When you're right, you don't need to argue. Really, think about it. If you're right, you don't need to argue. And you cannot argue someone into salvation. And you cannot argue with someone and they change their opinion and they're all right. No. God's got to change the heart. He's not changing an argument. It's a heart. It's a heart problem. He didn't come to argue with men. He was not contentious. He's meek and lowly, he said. He said, come to me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. He didn't come to prove. He didn't come to prove anything. He did not come into this world to prove God, that God is. And when we stand and preach, I'm not standing here this morning and trying to prove to you anything. I'm declaring to you the truth. I'm not trying to prove the truth. Declaring the truth. That's what we are. We're heralds. We herald the Word of God. I'm not going to sit down and have debate back and forth and see who's right and wrong, see who read the most. No, we declare the truth and move on. I don't have anything to argue about. I have nothing to argue about. This is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to go to the next place and the next door that God opens. He didn't come to prove anything. He came to save. He came to save. He didn't come to prove. He came to save. And then he says here, it gives us his character, a bruised reed. A bruised reed shall he not break. You got any bruised reeds here this morning? Any broken hearts? Has God broken any of us down? A bruised reed shall he not break. You see, a reed is something standing in the water there, and it's been something that's bruised it, almost broke it, and he's not going to come over and just pluck it up and throw it away. And the smoking flax shall he not quench or put out. You have an interest in Christ. The least interest here this morning in Jesus Christ, he will not put it out. In fact, he'll fan it. He'll fan it and make it grow. He won't put out the least interest in him. Not at all. God's servant is kind to sinners. Listen, the self-righteous are not kind to sinners. Those Pharisees, they were not kind to sinners. Remember when he was with Simon the Pharisee, and that woman came in and started to wash his feet, and Simon said, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. Then they went and they found a woman caught in adultery. And they brought her and threw her at his feet, and they were ready for a stone. They were ready for a stoning. I was watching a Western here some time ago, and it was based on a true story, but you know how TV is. It's always right. But they were going, they was hanging this criminal. The whole town showed up. They had brought, you know, when back during the Civil War, when it very first started, some people would take picnic baskets and stand on the hill and watch it. Human nature loves carnage. It really. Why do you think you get into you ever watching this UFC cage fighting is filled up. These guys are beating the life out of each other. I mean, they're just like gladiators. They had those gladiator wars, watching they kill them. We love that stuff. As Pharisees, you know, they wanted to watch this stoning. They wanted to try and trap him with the law, but they wanted to watch this stoning. They're going mean. It's mean to the core. But Christ is meek and lowly. You can let the worst person in town come into this place, sit down, hear the gospel, and God have mercy on them. God can have mercy on them. He can do that. He's kind. He's kind to sinners. The smoking flax, he said he'll not put it out. He'll help every sinner in need. Read the Gospels. Is there any time, any place in the Gospels where a sinner cried for mercy and he said no? I mean, he turned them away and ran them off. He helped them every time. Helped them every time. He will not destroy, as I said, the least bit of interest in him, not at all. And the work that he shall do shall be done in righteousness and truth. In absolute righteousness. There is no sin in any word, work that he spoke or performed. None. He never had a foolish thought. Never had a sinful thought. We can't comprehend that, can we? I can't. All I've known is sinful thoughts. I mean, they're just like bees buzzing around your head. You come to a worship service, you try to listen. And you find yourself drifting off. Or you find yourself thinking about something completely stupid. And here God's word's being preached. Christ is being set forth. And your mind is on something just out there. He never had that. He worshiped the Father perfectly. He went out. How often did our Lord go out and pray all night long? Do you ever pray all night long? I would say that the most of that was in praise. I'd say the most of that all night long was in praising his Father. And prayer is really a conversation with God. Think about it. And we make it so short. We make our praise so short. Because we got other things to do. Other interests, put it that way. Our mind is just... But one day we'll have, the scripture says, the mind of Christ. Can you imagine that? We'll praise God as we ought to praise him, and we won't grow weary of doing so. We won't do it. He shall not fail, it says in verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. That word means broken. Broken. Till he has set forth judgment, till he has fully satisfied God's justice and saved all whom he came to save. He's going to set forth judgment in the earth. And the owls, that's you and I, that's the Gentiles, shall wait for him. They're going to wait for his law. Wait. How many this morning are waiting for his word? You were waiting for it. We came here. I came here. We were here waiting for his word to be opened and preached. In Mexico, they wait for his word. They wait for Cody down there to open the word of God. And those other Mexican preachers, they open the word of God and preach it to them. Places where you'd have never thought the word of God would have ever gone. It's there. It's there. It's there because of him. But he shall not fail to establish righteousness for his people. Did he do it or not? Did Jesus Christ establish a righteousness by his own obedience? That's enough. That satisfies God. And you and I are accepted. in the Beloved. His righteousness is enough. Is it enough? It's enough. I don't need to do anything to add to it. I don't need to do anything to please God so that He will accept me or receive me. I hate to sit under that kind of ministry this morning. Wouldn't you hate to be listening to that this morning? It's awful. It's awful. Because you can't do it. You're telling people to do something they can't do. He shall not fail to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Are your sins really gone? Now, I know you and I still struggle with sin. We still have a conviction of sin, and we should have. But you know what? My sins are gone. At the end of the day, when I sit down, I should be able to sit down and rest in Christ because my sins are gone. Now, He either put them away or He didn't. One or the other. They're either gone or I still got them all. One or the other. He shall not fail to take the sting out of death and victory away from the grave. Are we not going to rise again? I'm not going to die. Now, I may die like an animal as far as just dying goes. My body's going to go back to the dust. You know, that's what Solomon says. We all the same thing happens to all of us. We die. But I'm coming back out of that ground. I'm going to have a new body. Looks like this. I'm going to look like John.